Happy Advent. When I say be prepared, I want you to say to be surprised. Be prepared. I truly believe that if we look at some of our biblical passages that we have presented to us on this first Sunday of Advent, we will realize that we are called to be prepared. That was a little weak. That we are called to be prepared. Let's look at the first reading today that we have from the book of the prophet Isaiah. In it, it clearly says this: all nations shall stream toward it. Come, let us climb the Lord's mountain. All nations. I'd like to actually preach a little bit today on the story of the Magi. Now, as odd as that may seem, it's the first Sunday of Advent, and I'm actually going to our end. The last great solemn feast of Christmas is the Epiphany, celebrated 12 days after the birth of our Lord. That's why we have the song, The 12 Days of Christmas. It actually counts the 12 days between the birth of our Lord and the coming of the Magi. And I do so because in that first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, it says, all nations shall stream towards the mountain of the Lord. In Matthew's gospel, the Magi coming is a symbol of all nations coming and worshiping the Lord. Everyone. Because the Magi weren't Jewish. They practiced foreign worship. They did not know the God of Israel. They were not Hebrew in descent. And yet they came and worshiped the Lord. They came and worshiped the Messiah. And thus this reading that we have on the first Sunday of Advent, in a certain sense, points towards our ultimate end, which is worship of God. But my dear brothers and sisters, believe me, we must be prepared. You see, if we look at the life of the Magi and their journey, it was a very, very hard one. And it was a very long one. Hundreds of miles they journeyed. And in that journey, for those of you who have ever done a task that takes a long time, we think a lot. And we build up in our mind our own expectations of what will happen when we actually arrive at the event that we're preparing for. Those Magi, for hundreds of miles, had in their eyes, in their mind, a preconceived notion of who they were going to see. Now, they were very smart men, they were men of science, they were astrologers, they had read the stars, they knew that a king was going to be born. But let's be honest, the last thing that they thought they would be doing would be worshiping the Word made flesh, born in a manger into poverty. What did they most likely expect? Well, that King Herod had another son. King Herod had 15 sons. King Herod was very temperamental, and he was constantly shifting which of his sons he was going to give the kingdom to, because he didn't really like any of them. In fact, when Herod does eventually die, he divides his kingdom among three of his sons. The Herod who judges Jesus at his death is one of the three sons who is governing the Jewish people. So the Magi that are coming from the east are not most likely expecting, well, actually, they're not expecting the birth of Jesus. They're expecting the birth of a king. Imagine when they arrive and they find out that King Herod does not have a newborn son. That there is not a king who has been born. And then after Herod consults with the scribes, they send them to Bethlehem, where they find a very poor man and woman who speak of angels that visited them. And the son who has been born to them is not of natural birth. And then these men, because they were willing to be surprised, because they were willing to shed their own expectations, they encountered God and they prostrated themselves and they worshiped. My brothers and sisters, we often are blinded by what we want to see instead of being open to what God wants us to see. My dear brothers and sisters, we are called to be prepared. Raise your hand if you went to a Thanksgiving dinner. Raise your hand if you went to more than one Thanksgiving dinner. Raise your hand if you helped prepare food for a Thanksgiving dinner. Now, for those of you who did food preparation, you are in a totally different category than people who did not prepare any food at all. And I want to talk to you just for a moment here. Because the reality is if you prepare food, you have high expectations for what will happen at that dinner table. Because the reality is, as you prepare that food, what are you thinking about? The meal. You're thinking about the people, the conversations. And you begin to build up your mind hopes and desires of what's going to happen. The family will gather around the table. People who haven't talked to each other for years will get along. Everyone will act and behave well. No children will misbehave. No cell phones will be at the table. Everyone will be absolutely happy and wonderful. And Norman Rockwell will like walk in to like paint a picture of your family picture, of your family dinner. There is a reason why the holidays are filled with tremendous depression. And one of them is because of the preconceived expectations that we have, that we build ourselves up for again and again and again, and then get torn down. My dear brothers and sisters, we are called to be prepared. This whole season is such a season of expectation. And we train our youngest children from the earliest age that they should have expectations. And in fact, that we will meet their expectations. When little kids are the youngest of age, we ask them what? What do you want for Christmas? All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. My two front teeth, see my two front teeth. Mariah Carey. All I want for Christmas is you. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. Well, what if it's hot outside? And what if there's no mistletoe and there's only holly? And for Pete's sake, what if they don't put the presents on the tree, which is ridiculous in the first place to even sing that, and the presents are under the tree? What if none of your expectations are met? What if the person who wants you for Christmas is a crazy stalker? My dear brothers and sisters, we are called to be prepared to... You see, if we want to be like the Magi, if we want all nations to come and worship the Lord, we need to realize that that's us, and we are called to come and worship the Lord, but we have to worship the Lord with no expectations. There's a great story about a young man named Michael. He was in his final year of college, and he was born into a lot of money. His family actually lived in a gated community, and in that gated community, it was the cultural norm that on the day of your college graduation, your mother and father would present you with the car of your desire. Young Michael, as he finished his studies, visited on a regular basis a car dealer showroom where he had his eyes on a beautiful sports car. He made it clear to his dad the car that he desired. As graduation approached, he began to observe his dad to see if anything had changed, if his dad was making special trips to the dealer to see if there was any title or paperwork around the house, and he saw none. Finally, on the day of his graduation, as the commencement ceremonies came to their conclusion, his dad invited him into his personal study. He had his son sit down, and he told his son how proud he was of him, and how much he loved him. And he also told him how much God loved him, and how much he had prayed for this day. He then handed him a beautifully wrapped box. And the young man began to become very disappointed. The box was rather large, and car keys are quite small. He took the box from his father's hand and he shook it, and it didn't rattle like car keys. Curious and yet very disappointed, he began to open the gift. And he found a lovely leather-bound Bible with his name embossed in gold on the bottom right corner. He was angry. And he raised his voice at his father and said, "With all your money, you gave me a Bible rather than the car I wanted." He threw the Bible at his father and stormed out of the house. And he never returned. Many years passed, the young man was very successful in business. He had a beautiful home, a wife, and his children began to grow, and he realized the love that his children had for him. He thought often of his father, who at that point in his life would have been growing quite old. He thought of reconciling with his father. However, before he could make the arrangements to even do so, he received a call from the funeral home that his father had died. He then received a call from a lawyer that his father had left everything in his estate to the son that had rejected him, and that he must come to the house to go through the possessions. When the son arrived at his father's house, he was saddened and filled with tremendous regret. He began to search through his father's possessions and belongings and important documents, and as he entered into the private study, he saw the Bible that his father had given to him sitting on the corner of the desk. With tears in his eyes, he sat down and began to page through that Bible. And he found one verse highlighted in yellow. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, which reads, "And if you who are wicked know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give to those who ask him?" As the son read those words, out of the back cover of the Bible, a piece of paper fell to the ground. Michael picked it up. It was a personal check made out to the car dealer down the street. It was made out for the exact amount of the car, for the exact amount of the cost of the car that he desired. On the memo line, it said, "Paid in full." You see, my brothers and sisters, we are called to be prepared to be surprised. And the reality is that God will often come to us in ways that we do not understand, in ways that we cannot expect, in ways that are beyond our imagining. And we are often so blinded by what we want to see that we miss God in our very midst. During these Advent days, I ask of us to imitate the Magi, who are willing to be open, who are willing to have their eyes truly open to the light of Christ. During these 4 weeks, we are called to have in our hearts a tremendous receptivity, to accept what God desires us to see, not what we expect. Mother Teresa, as you know, once said, "If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans." My dear brothers and sisters, God has great plans for you, and he has great plans for me. And they're beyond our expectation. They'll come wrapped in packages that we don't expect. And yet, my brothers and sisters, if we want to be like those Magi and end up in adoration and in praise and in worship here on earth, but also one day in heaven, which is what we all desire, we have to know that our expectations are very little compared to what God has prepared for us. My dear brothers and sisters, as we journey Even as we come to Mass today, all of you came with expectations of what the music would be, what the readings would be, what my homily would be. May we not allow our expectations to keep us from experiencing the God of our desires and our passions, and that God desires to meet those desires and passions with his plan. Through God's grace, may it be so. And my dear brothers and sisters, during these Advent days, may we be prepared